This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
We got to start this one off giving some love to the listeners.
Shout out to everyone listening to Hip Hop Grew Up, the hottest new podcast from the ATX, where we talk about hip hop stuff, grown up stuff, education. What else do we talk about?
Got this hip hop generational things. Point of view, Texas things,
Austin, Texas
current
things.
Events, memories, connections, learning. Parenthood, education.
Connections and learning.
Fathers of two artists. And on and on.
Yeah, we've been talking lately a lot about old rap versus new rap. How, you know, the rap stars of, you know, 15, 20 years ago are now fathers of these athletes and other music stars. And Big Boy. I saw his post again. Recently.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it? Apparently the Atlanta United, their MLS soccer team, won the championship. And you said it's been Atlanta's last championship since like the Atlanta Braves in the 90s or something.
Wow.
So I saw that.
Did not know that.
Mm-hmm. But lately we've been talking about, because his son is an awesome running back who plans on going to Oregon.
Yes.
We think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's on the sports side. We saw Vince Young dressed as a woman downtown at the Paramount, I believe.
I saw that.
That local Christmas play.
Yeah. And it's for a good cause, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine, Matt Earhart, had the same role. I don't have it pulled up. I apologize. But you know what I'm referring to. I just don't know the name of the production. In fact, I'll pull it up in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But sports, man.
I saw that. I saw Vince Young dressed up. A friend of mine from Houston/Austin, I think, was like posted up with him. And they're talking about how it was a really cool play. And he donated his time. And he didn't have to dress up right, but he did. So shout out to anyone giving the time for the young ones.
Yeah, it's a tradition that's been going on where they select this honorary local figure to play that role.
Oh, okay. So it was his turn. Okay. Austin Royalty. Good job. Shout out to Vince Young, a.k.a. B.Y.
So here it is. It's called The Nutcracker.
Nutcracker. Classic Christmas play. Have you taken your kids to see The Nutcracker?
No. He's dressed as Mother Ginger is the name of the role.
Yeah, Mother Ginger. I saw that. That's what it was.
So celebrity cameo.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
And Texas lost to OU, obviously.
Yeah.
Just barely.
But we're playing against Georgia, which is cool because we're, you know, I want to see what we can do against them.
Back in bowl contention.
Uh-huh.
Contention for a bowl title.
Sugar Bowl.
Mm-hmm. We're in the education system.
Yeah, but don't you think it was weird? Like, we lost a lot of games, but we still ended up with a pretty high ranking. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Got some clout. Got the juice.
Yeah. But shout out to our football team. Shout out to UT. I'm glad to see them in a bowl game.
Agreed.
All right, what else? We were talking about someone's top five. You were reading up on some.
Well, if you recall, we were talking about athletes who rhyme. And spoke on Allen Iverson being somebody you see is near the top of that.
Yeah.
And I was arguing for Shaq, but
Shaq was awesome lyricist.
I like when all these conversations just come back around. So then AI, who we talked about as a rapper, gives his top five.
Mm-hmm.
Hoopers, rappers, etc. So let me see what I can find. I had it pulled up here.
Allen Iverson is one of the, I think, most underrated point guards. Definitely of our generation, the late 90s, early 2000s. He was a beast on the court. Played for the Sixers for a long time. I think he played at Georgetown, too, right, for college?
Yeah, with John Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
just a whole unique style. You know, his look, his image was just super popular.
NBA Bad Boy.
Yep.
Kind of like Dennis Rodman, NBA. But a lot shorter because he was a guard, obviously. But he was, even for a guard, he was a real short guy. He still broke many people's ankles.
So here it is.
What did it say?
He named his top five NBA players.
Mm-hmm. What?
I'm scrolling. And he named his top five MCs. Mm-hmm. And I remember Redman, Jay-Z, Biggie. That's all I can remember offhand. Mm-hmm. Give me a sec. But how you doing, man, while I'm scrolling?
Well, I know what I want to talk about next, but I'm just...
All right,
this,
I got it.
This Iverson...
Big Pop.
Okay.
Andre.
Gotcha.
Redman.
Uh-huh.
And it says Hove.
Redman, Jay-Z. I'll, you know...
That's AI's top five. Excluding himself, he says. What do you think?
Where's he from originally? I think that has a lot to do with your top five. And we're going to talk about regionality.
He's from the DMV.
He's from Virginia?
Yeah.
Mm. I think Redman's amazing.
Oh, Redman. Redman's from New York.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you know...
And I got a big Redman story for you, too.
When you're from Virginia, when you're from the East Coast, you're normally going to pick an East Coast rapper to fill in that four or three spot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we already know, like, who the top two... Basically, if you... You know, and it changes generationally, too, right? Like, I'm pretty sure my top five and my nephew's top five are different, right? Just because he's in college now.
Redman's definitely great. So, you know, you can see him in somebody's top five.
Yeah. Just lyrical presence is all over the place. But you wonder, you know, if the people 10 years younger than me or 20 years younger than you or like Ludacris is, you know, would fill that void, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you're from the West Coast, that'd be a Snoop. You think about it, right?
I got to ride on the tour bus with those guys once upon a time.
Mm-hmm. Redman?
Redman and Method Man and their boys. I was rolling, had access to a tour bus with a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And we had been on the Cash Money Rough Riders tour going to every city,
I've heard
you
this
know,
story.
In the mix of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so towards the end, my boy I was rolling with still had access to the bus, fully funded. He'd worked with Red and Meth on Hard Knock Life and some other tours in the past.
Oh, okay.
And so they were rocking like two different cities.
So you working with Def Jam?
Yeah, a whole bunch of labels. I was really working with tour production. And so then they were doing two different cities on the East Coast.
Okay.
Which fits our story perfectly, right?
Which cities? And
I can't remember, like Connecticut and New York or something to that effect.
Okay.
Just a short drive. And so they rode with us because they were in vans and we were on a tour bus. And he pretty much knew that was going to happen. Like he called it. And we freestyled. I played them some of my music that I was working on, my Create and Hustle album. I think I played the first two tracks, Up South and Bavu. They were probably instrumental at the time.
Wow.
Redman, he read them as real Southern, like he felt it in that way. And, you know, to me, I was like, being from the South, I don't think I'm the most Southern the way everybody describes. But it was cool that that's what he got from it, you know. It let me know that the album started off good because that's how I wanted to feel, that Up South record.
Gotcha.
Into Bavu. He was like, all right, you know.
That's it. That's a dope that they got to hear your stuff and critique you, give you some feedback on it.
Oh, yeah. But mostly, of course, there's a lot of smoke and
It's cool just smoking a bleeze.
We freestyled. I got to freestyle with him on my bus and then see a second show. So that was crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a good story.
But Allen Iverson also.
Hey, I got a Redman story.
Yes.
We were in the south of France. I know it sounds weird, right? We were in the south of France.
Not really. South of France.
And it was like 2000. Must have been 2010 or 2009, 2011, around that time. There was a guy who had booked us to do cities in Europe, but like not your major cities, right? Because I think AEG or some big company would take care of the Chameleon tour. I think it was a Chameleon tour. Someone that took care of one of those tours. So it was like not the big city. So I think it was Lyon, France. And we were there. And it was a big show. And the show, I'm not sure if it didn't happen or something happened with the promoter. But the next day there was a Wu-Tang. No, it was a Method and Redman show.
Yep.
As a duo. And you know how we've been talking about duos a lot lately, right, on the podcast.
Same cast we were rolling with.
So it was just like they teamed up together, you know, because Redman has hits, Method Man has hits, with, and they both have songs with Wu-Tang and stuff, mm-hmm, but just like it was a really good balance.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a two-hour show.
The show was nasty.
Crazy. And then, in you know, in Europe, they just go 20 times more nuts,
mm-hmm,
because you're from another country. Like, oh my God. And so you're like the real rap people and they go insane. So I don't know. They already had known and spoken to Commander many times, and they invited him to come back, and they were very cool and respectful. They allowed us to chill back there, and we saw just the most insane show, because people were just like, it was like you know those heavy metal shows where people just banging their heads, like,
right?
It was like that. And then I swore Method Man drank like about a liter of water and like spit it in people's faces, and people just loved it. It was a crazy. I'm not exaggerating, man. I'm serious. Like,
yeah,
there might have been one or two people in that crowd are like, "Hey, that was weird, unexpected." But most people were like, "Yeah, he's spitting on me. Yes, Method Man's actual spit or water is like on my body." Like, it was nuts. Like, people were just waving and knew every single word, even though it was a different language. Those people reach a lot of people. So, shout out to Allen Iverson choosing Redman in his top five. Everyone's going to go for Jay-Z, just like on the business standpoint. Because when it comes to this rap business, he's got to be number one, right?
Right.
So that, on just that, Biggie, insane flow, Tupac, poet, and was going to become a major like influence in history, no matter what he did.
Yep.
I felt, right?
Yep.
That dude was just destined to be just amazing. Just, the stories just sounds like, even the movie, like, I still think they're going to write books about him. Like, that just nuts.
Lots of my students were reading Tupac Legacy in my classroom today. Tons of primary sources you can pull out of the book. You know, all his original notebooks and contracts and drawings and, primary, you know, sources, all the pictures. Yeah, primary and secondary, because it's like a biography. But then they have all kinds of primary sources, and they'll take a actual piece of like legal paper back in the day, nice, long yellow, and you got to slide it out of a pocket or a pouch. And they just have all these different papers, and they treat it like a museum exhibit about Tupac. Like, they're passing around today and really into it, because the rest of the day was testing. So that was like gold. Oh my God, this Tupac book. But everybody was just kind of flipping through the pictures and looking at it and passing it around.
That is dope.
I was like, is anybody going to actually read it?
I think just having that in the classroom was amazing. So I'm glad you got good choices of books like that Tupac one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to everybody who supports classrooms and helps with resources.
If you guys got any books,
it's always good.
There's always teachers who need them.
I got a couple at my study spot. I study at this diner sometimes.
You got some stash there or what?
He gave me two books. They're pretty nice.
Oh, you got some from there.
Yeah,
oh,
he just knew who I was and saved me a couple good books.
Hey.
For the classroom. Stuff I would actually use. It was dope. Should have brought them in. Forgot the titles. But he also had his top five basketball players. You want to hear those?
Yes.
Steph Curry.
Uh-huh.
This is all-time starting five. Steph Curry.
Uh-huh.
Mike Jordan. Kobe Bryant. LeBron James. And the greatest rapping ball player of all time, Shaquille O'Neal.
That's a good list. Repeat it again.
Steph, uh-huh, Mike, ooh, Kobe, Bron, Shaq.
That's an insane five. I like it that it's multi-generational too, in a way. Like, it's pretty much everyone from the 90s on, but that's a good one. You know what? And I'm glad someone freaking includes Shaq in the top five. People be hating. I don't know if they're hating or just forgetting about him, but like, that dude's like...
Well, otherwise, who's your center?
Bring up Dr. J.
He's not, right, a center.
Exactly. H-Town fans would say Olajuwon.
Over Shaq?
Yeah, I don't know. You know...
Olajuwon over Shaq.
I'm a Spurs fan, and I wouldn't go Robinson over Shaq. You know what I mean?
That's ridiculous. We're sliding down. Like.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm just... Hey...
David Robinson.
Hold on. And this kind of goes into our next conversation that I want to talk about. I've been actually meaning to bring this up. But, you know, being from Texas, being from Austin, right? We don't have a professional team. We just got our MLS team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to, I forgot their name. Austin FC. Shout out to Austin FC. And I need to get tickets. I need to figure out how to get season tickets because that's Austin's first, professional team. But because of that, we have as Austinites, we have an appreciation for other people's professional team, right?
Right.
Like, where did you grow up, Bubba?
Garland.
So automatically, you're going to be a Cowboys fan.
Right.
And a Mavericks fan.
Right.
And a Rangers fan.
Yes, at a young age.
Yeah, in instant, right? Because you're from the Dallas area, the DFW area, mm-hmm. and everyone that lives there is going to go for the same.
Yep.
Now, I'm from an area that's not in a major city. Mm-hmm. So, it's kind of the same dilemma as Austin, right? Because if you live in Austin, you're going to go, all right, for football, who are you going to go for? It's going to be the Cowboys or the Texans. But if
Cowboys.
But if it was in the 80s, who were the two teams back in the 80s?
Oilers. Cowboys.
Oilers and Cowboys, right?
Same teams.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think there's definitely a story of how the Oilers affects people in Houston sports. In my opinion, I have a theory about it. You know, and I bring this up to all my Houston friends all the time. I think back in the day, living in Del Rio, Texas, you know, when you weren't supporting your high school team or, you know, favorite college, and in college, it was always UT and A&M, mm-hmm. right? In Texas back in the day. Now you got options. Now you got Texas Tech. You got TCU. You know, you got a lot of people making noise that weren't making noise back when we were growing up.
Right.
But when it came to professional teams back, it was Cowboys or Oilers back then. There was a time when the Cowboys started winning all those championships, Babu. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like those, like, six within... How many did they get? Five within like 6 years or something like that?
It seemed like it.
Back when they had Troy Aikman, you know, Michael Irvin.
Emmitt Smith.
It was just insane.
Five championships.
And Jimmy Johnson, right? Which is like the dopest coach in college ever. Remember when he was in Miami?
Absolutely.
So it was just a great little, like, for the 90s, that was like the best, like, and Jerry Jones put that all together and he was kind of a new owner, you know? It was just a real cool time. So I think in Texas, a lot of people appreciated that unless you were from the Houston area. Because at that time, the Oilers got real close. I think they were like even – they had beaten the Bills like all the way to the third quarter like big time. And I remember the Bills came back. And at that time, the Bills went to like four straight Super Bowls. Do you remember for the AFC? Do you remember that time, Mr. Blake?
Absolutely, man. I used to be really into sports. That's kind of how we ended up on the Yak, actually.
Okay, cool. So I want to talk about that after we're talking about this, but
mm-hmm.
excuse me. All right. So back in the day, you either had to be an Oilers fan or a Cowboys fan if
yes,
you
sir.
Weren't from those cities, right?
Yes, sir.
So, hell, we're Oilers fans, right? We're Oilers fans for a long time. Cowboys started winning, you know. Everyone's going for, like, the Cowboys because before that, the Cowboys were horrible. Right before they won those, like those 90s like championships were great, but like it's kind of been like a pit of 20 years of nothing. And before that, it seemed like 20 years of nothing before that or something.
The Oilers,
the Cowboys.
The Cowboys had some Roger Staubach, and they were pretty.
Yeah, nice. But that was 20 years, and right, and you had to wait 20 years to the 90s, and then they started winning again. Right.
I'm checking it right now.
Please check it because I know it's like they go into like 20 year intervals.
It's 15.
Okay, so 50.
Well, 71.
Two.
And then 6 years later, they get their second one in 77.
Okay, so 77 they got.
So that's 6 years apart.
Okay.
And then another 15 to 1992, 93, and 95.
Okay.
And then so they got 3 and 5 years to your point earlier.
Oh, okay. 3 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was more. Sorry. I was thinking about the Spurs, which is my favorite team in basketball because geographically, Del Rio, the next big town is what? San Antonio. So he wanted to go to Sam's or use an airport or watch a movie that wasn't banned by our small town, like Boys in the Hood. You had to go to San Antonio for those things.
Right.
Go to a decent mall.
Alamo.
Yeah, we got to go to the Alamo City. And so when the only professional team that exists in San Antonio is what?
Spurs.
Yeah, there is no football team. There is no baseball team. We don't have. They don't have that like luxury. And I say we because you know that's like my second big city from besides my hometown.
A baseball team near San Antonio would be off the chain, but it would be hot.
I think people always like play with that, and an MLS team, soccer team, would do insane. Like anything in San Antonio would go insane. It's like number 9 population city in America, or at least like that metro area. So it's like anything would go big. It just hasn't, you know. And the way like demographics and the population changes. Hopefully with this, you know, it's about to be 2020, right? And they're going to do another census. That should affect a lot where sports teams and stadiums and events happen. But anyway, back to geographic sport popularity. I guess your favorite team, wherever you live in Texas, is what I'm trying to say. So, yeah. So in Del Rio's, all this conundrum of who you root for. And it's always like, most of the time, it's always a Texas team. If you're from a small town, and you choose. You want the Mavericks, you want the Rockets, you want the Spurs for basketball. You know, because of where I live, the Spurs is all we had for like kind of border towns, and it kind of just if you notice all the people who go there and support that team, even before they won championships, a lot of people were from that area, and so we used to go to Spurs games, too, just because my uncle had season tickets. And we used to, like, get good grades. When we made good grades, we get all A's. You know, one of my cousins would take us down to a game. And we used to go back when Vinny Del Negro was playing, when Robinson, when Dennis Rodman was playing with the Spurs. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
We would see Carmen Electra and Madonna at the games because Rodman was smashing them or hanging out with them or whatever. But we would see that, and I would be like, oh, this is so cool. So we just remember going to the Spurs, and this is before they ever won championships. When I graduated high school in 1999, guess what happened? Spurs won their first NBA championship, and they started winning after that, thanks to Tim Duncan. So I think that is, you know, just depending where you live, you're going to go for different teams. So, yes, I'm a Spurs fan because I'm from Del Rio. For football, it was always kind of up in the air growing up. But as an adult, and because most of my DJ gigs are in Houston, and I see, a lot of the NFL players and MLB players from Houston, I go for the Astros and I go for the Texans.
Of course.
I was always an Astros fan, though. I have gone to the Alamo Dome, to the Astro Dome to see Nolan Ryan pitch as a young boy and going to Astro World and Water World several times. That was like our big trip. So I was always an Astros fan.
I was always Mavericks and Cowboys.
Because of where you live, right?
Absolutely.
Now, people who live in the Houston area are definitely going to go for all three, the trifecta, right? You're going to go for whatever NFL teams in Texas, whether it be the Oilers or the Texans. So now it's the Texans. Then the Astros. Then the Rockets. And you go for the other trifecta.
Oh, Rockets.
Rangers, Mavericks, Cowboys.
Never paid much attention to the Rangers, honestly. Never did.
But that's also just because, I mean, who watches baseball?
I like going to the game. I always enjoy going to a baseball game.
Going to baseball games is off the chain. Watching on TV is not so much fun.
No.
There is something I wish they would add to the baseball.
What's that? Free throws?
No, a clock for when the dude pitches for the pitcher. You know how there's a shot clock normally in basketball? Or there's like in an NFL a play clock, 40 seconds, whatever. I wish they timed that.
Really?
Yeah, I think if they timed the baseball pitch, the dude would pitch more. And I think the pitcher's in total control in baseball, in my opinion. Because he has all the time in the world to throw that ball. If he had a time constraint, I think he could do something with it. I felt like we've had this conversation before. I'm not sure if it's one of the ones we've had already producing the Yak, but definitely maybe on one of the early. Remember our podcast trials when we were trying this out? I think I remember having this conversation. But yeah, I wish they in baseball that they would do that. I wish they would have a pitching clock.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing, man. Hip hop grew up.
It did. I did go on a little tangent there, but
we got a lot to say, man.
I definitely wanted to go over where in what's your favorite team depending on where you live. Yeah. So if we haven't shouted out your small town, I want to know what, like, when, and I talk to like people like Charlie Boy who lives in Calvert and Hearn, Texas, right? And that's kind of East Texas. They definitely go root more for A&M than UT, but they're also like kind of in the middle. They just like any Texas teams. Like, oh, it doesn't matter. So I want to know from you guys, the listeners, what is your favorite sports teams for football, for basketball, and for baseball, if any? Or even if you're going for MLS. I know in our school, you know what they always talk about, right? They didn't even talk about any of those sports.
Football and basketball?
Nah. Like, all my Hispanic kids are always like, hey, like,
soccer and track.
Barcelona or Real Madrid.
Right.
Or they're like, Chivas America. If you watch the Mexican soccer leagues or other leagues, they're always on their own trip.
Mm-hmm. Soccer. Huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a soccer coach, too, if you didn't know. Our team did pretty good. We got a lot of talent out there, especially the international kids.
I like coming out there watching you coach, man. It's fun.
I'm just yelling at people. But that's a big motivator when you're young. You know what I'm saying? In middle school, they don't got no one yelling at them to do better or try hard or run really fast or do something. I like the kind of coaching where you're giving them like specific instructions and just not like, you know, the coach just gets angry and says something. No, you should have done that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, or I just like it when they're real specific on things.
Hmm.
So I don't know, but thank you for commenting on my coaching. I like the way you teach.
Well, thank you. Me too.
Y'all gotta see Babu teach. I'm not just trying to be like, you know, because I work with a dude. It was just kind of random how we worked together, but amazing presence. And teachers, if you ever want to get a great professional development session, have this guy do it for you because it's really amazing. You pay attention. It's kind of like, I guess it's all the history of you from you being a rapper. Yep. And you having a lot of stage shows.
Mm-hmm.
And not being afraid to talk to a room full of people.
Right.
So I commend you on that. I think that's helped your educational career amazingly.
That's that hip hop grew up.
It is.
That background and that culture translates to, you know,
this whole show. Is the reason we do that. Yeah.
This whole show. And it's cool to be like, you know, 10 years, 15 years removed from when we first connected. You were recording me and, yeah, you know, yeah, working on it.
I was super hardcore DJ trying to do every rap thing possible. And you were trying to do every rap thing possible. So messing, you know, doing stuff with DJs was a must.
Because
that's the whole thing. How the hip hop started, you know, DJs and rappers.
Yeah.
Breakdancers and graffiti artists.
And triple it flows.
Oh, that's what we're going to talk about next. Man, okay, so this old rap, new rap thing. And shout out to my man, Pusher Mania, and Matt Sanzala for coming on the show. And shout out to my boy, Edward Castillo from Score More, for saying he listened to the show via one of his friends. And I forgot who you said.
Thank you, Edward.
Turned him on to that. But Matt, shout out to Edward, all our listeners. You've had some really good discussions about, you know, the rappers of 20 years ago, the rappers of today. What is rap, this mumble rap versus real lyricism, or, you know, I'm moving my hands in quotes right now, real lyricism or whatever, and production back then to production now, how it's all kind of different. And one of the videos that you shared with me earlier this week was from where? I want to say it was like one of the websites, like hiphop.com or something. I knew one of the dudes from Hip Hop DX was in the interview. Oh, it was Vox Pop, Earworm, How the Triplet Flow Took Over Rap.
If you listen to mainstream music these days,
Oops.
Yeah, so, How the Triplet Flow Took Over Rap. And I thought that was real interesting because it was a very good explanation on how a lot of the music today is like kind of like rapped in the same kind of pattern. Like, it even shows the beats and the hi-hats and then the rap patterns. What did you watch it in its entirety or just a little bit of it?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
But the topic alone, you know, I need to watch it. But I definitely think it's just something you do in a solo. It's just an optional rhythm.
It is an optional rhythm, but it's a very popular optional rhythm. It's like...
It's hot.
I knew it was kind of... Hey, this sounds like that. It sounds like that, but never knew why. I remember, and then in that they talk about this Snoop Dogg video that he had on his channel on the Snoop Dogg Network, or you know, he's in there and he's talking about, I don't know who started doing this rap. He, like, this is me imitating Snoop Dogg. I don't know who's doing this rap. It was Migos or Future or someone. Who's like, he was talking about, like, he was trying to mimic that, and that's what they're talking about is the triplet flow. The triplet sounds like that, right? Can you explain triplet in your awesome vocabulary, what they're talking about, Pablo?
Quarter notes, 1, 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4. Triplets, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So people, you know, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, you know?
And then it's also like they're rapping at 70 BPM, but some of the beats are like at double the speed. So they even talked about like that. So they're 1, 2, 3, wouldn't be 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. It would be like, da, 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 like, oh, no, 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 one, no, 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 two,
mm-hmm.
no, 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 three. And then, like, again, one, and then go to six and 12.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, just chopping it up in threes instead of 1, 2, 1, 2, you know.
So it's just a 1, 2. It talked about how that relationship, and it was a real cool video, and I liked how all, it seemed, they're talking about all the history of it, right? And you talked about, Who brought up that?
I would say there's two main points of reference you should make if you're talking about the prominence
of
triplet flow.
Yes, in rap. And you said who? What?
The first stop, like the first stop we would get to would be Bone Thugs and Harmony.
First.
Not original. I'm saying first from 2018. If I'm turning in the direction of we're talking about
we're
triplets.
Backwards.
Yeah, we're going backwards. So we would get to them first on the way back. Last, we would get to Public Enemy, of course. But Bone Thugs, they use triplets at a very, 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 very high level that impacted all kinds of people forever, including Chamillionaire. You know, they're just a super group. Super group.
Yes.
From Ruthless Records.
Yeah, and they
like
did have
NWA super group. You know, huge super group.
Yes. And they talked about how, and there's another person they mentioned in the video that you didn't mention, Lord Infamous from 3-6 Mafia.
Right, right.
And they talked about how a lot of that rap was kind of repopularized in that Midwest to Southern region, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it still kind of is, like, spreading into Atlanta and stuff. But it talks about, like, a very good explanation about, like, the, you know, geography of it. And Bone was heavily influenced, Lord Infamous heavily influenced. It talked about what you just said, Public Enemy, and it was a great video. So you guys haven't seen it. It's awesome. It's called, let me look at it again, How the Triplet Flow Took Over Rap. So if you're into all this rap stuff and how Migos sounds like Cardi B and all this stuff, check this out because it explains it pretty well.
Right. And I don't know how deep they got into it, but you can go way back to the 20s and 40s and all kinds of places and find people chopping flows like that.
Yeah.
On random musicals and, you know.
Instruments.
Yeah, instruments, but also vocals.
Oh, okay. You're talking about actual vocals.
Definitely.
Nice.
A lot of, back then, a lot of theater, a lot of plays, a lot of movies had a whole lot of dope music in them.
Da-da. Okay.
Just kind of stumble across the...
Triplets are not new, was what you're saying.
Nah, but this Chuck D, cool. That's the original one that I heard.
Yes.
Soul on a roll and you're treated like dope on a rope because the beast and the rhymes are so dope. Bring the Noise comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first person I heard use triplets.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Something corrupt like a senator, that all of that. Never badder than bad, but the brother, yeah. So that's my first reference of just hearing triplets finessed real nice. People still rap like that too. It's cool.
Yes, a lot of it. And so a lot of people just go, oh, wow, why are they doing this triplet flow? But because
it's
to,
jazzy, it's bluesy, it's, you know, it's
different.
Fly.
There's something else I want to talk about. Oh, yes, music, right? last time we were talking about, we always bring up Travis Scott.
Yeah. Did you bring up Matt's, the guy, you, Edward is his name?
Yeah, right? Yeah, Edward.
Okay.
We need to call him, and because he Matt was making the argument that, you know, a lot the Houston All-Stars should have been billed. And Edward was saying, like, no, there's a certain explanation for that. And, you know, I was listening to him, but I actually saw him at a wedding. So it was just kind of a little bit loud to be discussing that. But I would love to hear his point of view on it. But anyway, more importantly, something I thought was cool was that Travis Scott got nominated for a Grammy. And someone that was billed on that Grammy was a Screwed Up Click member, none other than who, Mr. Blake?
Said Hawk, Big Hawk?
Big Hawk.
Big Hawk.
Shout out to Big Hawk for getting... Shout out to Travis Scott for getting Big Hawk a Grammy nomination, because that's...
And Misha Hawkins and the family and the Screwed Up Click. Congratulations.
Man, that's just an awesome, awesome blessing. And shout out to the Grip Boys. I think they were part of kind of helping make that happen. I think that part of that Sickle Mode part was from a Grip Boys freestyle.
Really?
That was cool. Yeah. Some stuff.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, so if that's true, I think I saw that like Scooby post that. If that's true, I think that's awesome. And what else? You know, for all the bad things you can say about Travis Scott, that dude's putting Houston on the map in some kind of way. Because this year, you know, I turned on Saturday Night Live and I saw DJ Screw's image. You know, like on there while Mike Dean was playing keys and Travis Scott was rapping. There's nothing more Texas than that. You know, then I saw Big Hawk get nominated for a Grammy on like Billboard.com.
The king of Texas is leveraging resources.
Yeah, seems like it, man.
That's dope. That's pretty cool. When the new can, you know, pay back to the old.
Yes.
Cars 3. The teacher learns from the student. Student learns from the teacher.
That's something.
Mentorship.
That's something you always bring up.
Grew up.
Yeah, that's something.
With parents.
You bring that up in education, that Cars 3 reference. You guys.
In every reference. Hip hop reference too. Just Cars 3. It's just.
Cars 3 is.
It's got a lot of philosophy and wisdom.
Get to the plot of Cars 3 and why it's important for the young people to help out the old and the old to help out the young. Explain it. If you could.
It's how you stay fresh. And if you're an elder, then you're supposed to be of value to the next generation. Doesn't mean you owe every kid everything, but you're supposed to be working on yourself in that capacity, because that's what adults do. Mm-hmm. Relate and sow into the future. And so that movie in particular just really shows how intergenerational relationships, you know, can be mutually beneficial.
Got you.
You know, if everybody knows who they are and can be confident in who they are, and collaborating with someone else who brings something different to the table, you know, when they're able to listen to each other's language and communicate and work together and support each other. Because at first, Lightning, the old car who'd been winning for a long time,
and
was taught the old school way and
was always
the champ and used to being the champ and shining like the champ and confident like the champ, runs into someone who wanted to race but didn't have the courage, but definitely had the potential. But he's so busy being the OG, he doesn't even think about her situation until he really offends her. So later she comes back, but the whole time, you know, the guy who's beating him in the races and her are telling him, like, you're an older guy. You need to, you know, take it easy. And even corporate is telling Lightning McQueen that it's time to sell the brand.
You know, he can profit more from selling the brand.
He's like, no, I want to be able to race.
Yep. Yep.
And eventually he has to speak her language and coach her from the sideline for her to win and do everything that his OG did back in the day, including his final little flip, you know. So it was just cool to see that he had to, she was training him before he was willing to train her.
I thought that was awesome connection.
He figured out how to hear her and listen to her and relate to her. And it, you know, it was just mutually beneficial.
You can tell we got kids.
Tap in with the young folks.
You can tell we have kids as we're talking about Cars 3.
Cars 3, it's got lessons, man.
A lot of those Disney movies got crazy tear jerking lessons. You're like, it was like, oh, that was kind of crazy. He died or something, and then you learn something.
I think that one just taps in, even on like a mainstream level, like because her name's Cruz Ramirez.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
the new racer. Yeah. Sure. The new student.
Right, right. And the new racer, like you said. Sounds like a Spanish-speaking Mexican-American name to me.
I think
me.
They're trying to tap into that.
And that's who's going to be the majority in Texas in 2022.
Another connection.
Mm. Oh, there's many, 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 many more. Many more. You know?
And I see why you keep bringing that movie up in a lot of conversation.
I don't know. You know, when you get a good read on something, make a lot of connections as a reader.
Yeah.
It just sticks with you.
I got you.
Because you keep running into, you know, these different breadcrumbs that you related to it when you first took it in. So I guess it's just, I just think it's a real good text.
So, in a nutshell, if you're older, help out the young. If you're younger, you know, get some game from some old folk, man. Mm-hmm. They know some things.
Train them.
Mm-hmm.
Train them like only you can, young people. Train us. Get us right.
It's just like...
Tighten us up.
I see this all the time in the classroom. Or just, you know, when... Just like we used to help our mom with our VCR. You know, hey, get the VCR going. Or, like, figure out this electronic device. You know, we depend on millennials to figure out iPhone or internet searching solutions.
Exactly. Cruz Ramirez was an expert on, like, the motivational techniques and the mindfulness and the technology of, you know, training and simulation and using data to win. And at first he was like, just not even with it. Just wanting to get to the end so he could crash, like she was trying to tell him he would.
Mm-hmm. So that, I think that's awesome. When
sometimes they try to tell us,
you know. Multi-generational people playing your part and helping out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of goes into our last little talk about how maybe we can start talking about it and then maybe add the second segment to the next show. But how did you meet our boy Jeff from the Yak?
Jeff Ketchum.
Mm-hmm. The Cars 3 kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
I came out of high school and learned, studied journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Came to UT on scholarship.
Hook 'em horns.
And thought I was going to write for the newspaper, but somebody, and for some reason I can't remember who, but I need to remember who, gave me a tip. It may have been my journalism teacher in high school or middle school, but somebody told me to check with the sports information department that I could get good clips and, you know, something that I'd enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I wasn't, you know, I'd been doing sports reporting at my high school already. And so when I was on an orientation, I checked in. They gave me a job, and I connected really strong with this guy named John Bianco, who was, you know, like a media relations assistant under another guy named Bill Little, who was the sports information director.
So you're in sports journalism pretty heavy at UT at this point.
Yeah, we would do all the publicity. We were the media relations people. So anybody who was covering them, we were the interface.
Okay.
And at first, you know, I would help get quotes and get stats. And then eventually I was able to, you know, manage the track media, study it. Yeah, basically John is teaching me all these different things is what it really is. Not that I'm doing it. It's more like, you know, he's giving me these opportunities.
UT track team was no joke. And still
no joke. So, he allowed me to travel with them everywhere. Like all the big meets, all the major meets, conference meets, national meets. Yeah. And so, and when different sports companies would come through town, ABC, you know, CBS, whoever, ESPN.
Big network.
I could work for them and get an extra check because he was leading me through that. They gave me an extra scholarship, you know, got me a job at ABC Sports, like doing different college football game every week in a different part of the country. You know, just allowed me so many opportunities. Helped me with internships. Different people came through and hired me for long periods of time. I went to South Africa working for USA Track and Field because he, you know, set it up and introduced me to it. And just several people nurturing me like that. And so in comes Jeff Ketchum, who's like a high school intern and then a freshman intern when I'm kind of the outgoing guy. And so I'm essentially the gold standard, or at least, you know, I can't say the gold standard. I can say that I was a very valuable part of a team of other people. in college.
You were dope.
Yeah, I was dope, but the standard was dope. It was really John Bianco. Awesome. John Bianco took that thing over. Now he's an assistant athletic director of Texas.
Oh, nice.
So I think he's basically Bill Little 2018, which is dope because Bill Little was all of our dad. It's mainly John Bianco, Dave Saba, Mike Hardesky. You know, there's a lot of different people that came through. But so I was just one of many, and that experience was really enriching for me. And, you know, helped me with some identity. And John just had so much to teach about media, about writing, about work ethic, about family, you know. And one of the reasons he chose UT is because his wife was African-American. Mm-hmm. And I found out later that my wife's dad actually married them, but not when any of that was the
officiated
case
yet. Officiated their wedding.
Officiated their wedding.
Gotcha.
But I brought all that to say, Bill Little was accepting of that, and some schools were not.
Yeah.
They took a chance on him knowing that he had a black wife. And that's one of the reasons he came to UT. So it's dope to see the progression, and now he's an assistant AD. But he was a serious, he was the lead mentor for us. We had access to the whole staff, but John was the guide. He was the Morpheus, John Bianco. Good dude. So awesome. Jeff Ketchum came through and then just launched into his own independent media. And then I hear, you know, from Orange him Blood. About Orange Bloods. Orange Bloods. Yeah. Orange Bloods grows.
And now
here comes the Yak.
And we're all with it.
So, and hip hop grew up.
Exactly. So thanks for tuning into this episode of Hip Hop Grew Up. We got more. Have a good one.